be seated.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for being here today. We feel your presence, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Let us be sensitive to your call, to what you're saying to us today. Lord, as we hear your voice, Lord, let us respond. Lord, let us be attentive, Lord, to what you are saying to us today, Lord. We pray that it will be all you. Lord, you will increase and I will decrease, Lord. Thank you for having your way today and ministering in a special way to someone that is here today that they may have never been touched before. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Glad to have everybody here. Good to see everybody out here. For those that maybe I didn't get all the way around and see everybody, good morning to you. Glad to have you. I have a special announcement to make. It's a brief one, but a special one. We have someone that wants to become a member of the church today, and she's just going to wave at me. Linda Bremer, she's sitting back there in the back. So she wants to become a member of Langley. So we are thankful of that. And she just had her birthday. Happy birthday to you, Linda. So I do want to mention something. I keep forgetting to mention it every week. I'm a guy. I'm just a man. And you're giving. Thank you for giving to the church, for supporting the church, the ministry, the outreaches, all the things that happen here in the community with Langley Elementary, Nice Welcome, Food Bank, I mean, Rise Against Hunger. There's so many things that you guys contribute to help keep this church going. But also we know that you help keep these lights on and you help keep people going, serving the Lord. And we just want you to know that if you ever want to give, we do have the black boxes in the back, and then we also, you can give online. So as you can tell, I'm one of those guys, hey, well, we trust the Lord, but there's nothing wrong with mentioning it, just to let you know that we do have those options. Now, as we are here today, as we're talking, as we're thinking about the purposeful prayer life, this is part two on a series. And so we approach God in prayer. As we do that, we must, as believers, realize how important a healthy prayer life really is. As I said, we've been talking about a purposeful prayer life. But last week we talked about worship, and that worship is a way of life. I like to say worship is a lifestyle. And as we think about worship, worship draws us into intimacy with the Father. If you were drawing close to the Lord there in those moments of worship, we get more intimate with the Lord. This what you call corporate worship, but you can feel God's presence. You may have came in and you're feeling kind of heavy, but then you opened up your mouth and gave God worship and went before him in worship. But today in part two of Purposeful Prayer Life, we're going to talk about confession. I gave a quick sneak peek on the online video that I did, but we have our kids in here with us today. So I was really thinking about it and maybe doing something that would encourage the kids that they can remember or hold on to. And so I had a song. And the kids, where's our kids at? Can you raise your hands? All right. Now I know there's kids at heart here too. Harry, me, yep. Matt, yep. But I have a song and it's called He's My Messiah. And on the song, it says, he's my Messiah. This wasn't something I totally had planned. Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on, light the fire, let's take it higher. Okay? So I want you guys to say that with me if you can. So once when I say it, you just repeat after me. And this is real because the devil is a liar. He's nothing but the father of lies. And that's all he does is lie. He's called a great deceiver. So let's try it. He's my Messiah. Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on, light the fire. Let's take it higher. I like that. We're going to try one more time. He's my Messiah. Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on, light the fire. Let's take it higher. All right, so we're going to try a little faster now. He's my Messiah. Say it with me. One, two, three, go. He's my Messiah. Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on, light the fire. Let's take it higher. He's my Messiah. Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on, light the fire. Let's take it higher. Now listen to this. Resurrected, intersected, disinfected. Exactly what you ain't expected. Never neglected, mad times disrespected. I stand firm even when it's hectic. I've been disgusted, busted, arrested, tested. But when I gave my life to Christ, manifested. He blessed it, I confessed it. Now I'm a cat that the devil can't mess with. He's the prince of the air, but he'll never compare to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is everywhere. So listen close to what I'm saying. Christ is coming back with no delaying. I tell you, daughter, there's no time for playing. People need to get saved, so start praying. God's holding it down, and he's wearing the crown. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm putting it down. Say, he's my Messiah. Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on, light the fire. Let's take it higher. He's my Messiah. Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on, light the fire. Let's take it higher. Yeah, when I say Jesus, you say Christ. Jesus.
Christ.
Jesus.
Christ.
When I say hallelujah, you say Luya.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When I say lift him, you say up. Lift him.
Up.
Lift him.
Up.
When I say glory, you say fire. Glory.
Fire.
Glory. Fire. All right. Just a little something for y'all. Got your attention now, right? Hopefully. Okay. I'm not breakdancing or anything like that, but that's what we got. So, confession. That's right. The word confession can be described in two different ways, confession of faith in Jesus and confession of sin. Confession is when we have a change of conviction and we acknowledge within us that we acted one way before and now we admit our sins, we confess. Over the course of time, we know as we read through the Bible that God's people have had these moments where they walked in wickedness, pride, idol worship, and so on. But for you and me, have you ever had a time when you just felt like you were living it up? Often, it takes hard circumstances to bring us to confess our sins that we've been indulging in. So for you, for me, the question is, do you confess your sins to God? Do we daily confess our sins before the Lord? So I want to talk about a story. It's in the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers. I'm going to have a little snippet here in Numbers chapter 21 first. But I just want to kind of give you an overview, like catch you up, what's going on. I like to kind of give the context of what's going on here, what happened beforehand. We had here in Numbers, and that is in the Old Testament, some of the Israelites had been taken captive. And they asked God to deliver them. And guess what he did? Then they complained. What? Then they complained about the food in the wilderness, and as a result, many of them, wow, God can do whatever in the world he wants to do. Many of them were bitten by fiery serpents, but then they confessed their sin to the Lord, and this is in Numbers chapter 21, verse 7. It says, they came to Moses, and they said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. God told Moses to make a bronze serpent, and if anybody that gets bit looks at it, they will live. Now, this was a time when Balak, king of Moab, heard that the Israelites had defeated the Canaanites, the Amorites, and Bashan. That's all in chapter 21. So they'd been in great dread of the Israelites because they were becoming more and more in number. And they were afraid of them that they even said that they would lick up all them, everything that's around them as the ox licks up the grass. You know how the oxen, they go around, and for those that are from the country, you know, they'll be eating it up. So Moab and Midian were afraid. They were scared. They were terrified. And Balak, the king called for the prophet Balaam. He told them, I need you to curse the Israelites. They thought maybe they could use divination and curse the Israelites. So now we're going to jump forward to Numbers 22 in verse 12. God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Although God's chosen people, they sinned, they confessed their sins to God, and they turned back to him. It just makes me think of all that's going on today in our world. Verse 15, we're going to jump down. Verse 15, follow me here. Once again, Balak tried again. He sent princes more in number and more honorable than these he had already sent. He already sent like a first group of princes. And they came to Balaam and they said to him, Balak the son of Zippor says, let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come. Curse this people for me. They say that Balaam supposedly had a good reputation of, you know, being a prophet and speaking. And, you know, they said, come on, we need you over here to do something for us. But Balaam answered in verse 18 and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me, let me tell you why I can't do this basically, were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I couldn't go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or to do more. So you too, please stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. Verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. Verse 22, but God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. This is a wild story if you've never heard it. Get ready. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road. Wait a minute. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. Sounds like a pretty smart donkey. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Verse 24. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. Basically, I ain't got nowhere else to go. And she just lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Oh my gosh, kids, you little youngsters, if you have not heard this story before, God can do all things. He can do anything that he wants to do, anything. So the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? You ever see those cartoons? You know, where the, you know, it's like, oh yeah, the animals, they can talk, or my kids are watching Toy Story, you know, and they're all just play with their toys, the kids, and then they throw them back in the box, and then, you know, they get up and they start talking and all that. It makes you go, whoa. Kind of makes me think of that, like, oh my gosh. And so they had nowhere to go. It says, what have I done to you that you struck me these three times? I'm sure Balaam was like, whoa. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you've made me a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you've ridden all of your life? Lifelong to this day. Is it my habit to treat you this way? And he said, no. Keep following me here. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face, and the angel of the Lord, he said to him, Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I've come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me. And the donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have taken him out and let her live. I would have taken you out, Balaam. Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Now therefore, if it's evil in your sight, I will turn back. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men. Go with them, but only speak the word that I tell you. So Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. God doesn't always restrain us from sin. He will convict us, but we will have to act on that conviction. It kind of comes to my mind where talking about like quenching the spirit, like when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you get the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It may be an old school term now, but we used to say quenching the spirit and not listening to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, come on, and we go, and you try to just press on through, but the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to you. We have to make the choice in those moments to turn and see what God wants, and even for Balaam, he came to the point where he had to turn and confess it. One thing that is so true, and you may, or I may hear more and more and more about it, but whether people like it or not, God doesn't want anyone to touch his chosen people. They are the apple of his eye, as he says in the word. And that means also that us, as followers of Jesus, that's us. We are grafted into the body of Christ, of Jesus. Even in the Bible, it says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You think about that, about God and how somebody here had power from, physical standpoint here as human. Yeah, let's go out and let's do something about these Israelites. And they even grabbed the guy Balaam and they offered him all this stuff. But he was still going, even though God said, okay, you can get up and talk to him, listen to him. He said, okay, you can go, but then he was going. He may be even been thinking about, man, I kind of got some rewards here, and he was just going on the path he thought that he should take. Let's look back in verse 36. It says, when Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, because Balak was probably like, yes. They're on the border formed by the Arnon at the extremity of the border, and Balak said to Balaam, did I not send to you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? It took him a while. Balaam said to Balak, behold, I have come to you. Have I now any power of my own to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that must I speak. Then Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent for Balaam and for the princes who were with him. And in the morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the Bamoth Baal, and from there he saw a fraction of the people. Balak so bad wanted to curse God's people. We have to flip it around on the devil and curse the devil when he comes after us, when we're in places where we don't even see things that we need to come forward with God and confess. And go before him and say, Lord, I need help. I need you to help me. And when you're in a time of worship, when you're in a time of prayer, when you're getting before the Lord, it's so important to just confess to the Lord. As you go in, you get in your prayer closet, wherever it is, and you just say, Lord, I confess, Lord, that I can't do this. That, Lord, I'm not all that. That's kind of something he hits me with often, where I says, Lord, I can't do this without you. And sometimes, you know, I think everything starts going good and I'm trying to push on through. And God says, I'm trying to speak to you, but I got my eyes so focused on what's ahead of me that God says, I'm right here. I'm standing in the way. And he wants us to listen. So three more times after this, Balak, we're not going to go into the actual details of the scripture, but Balak tried to get Balaam three more times to curse Israel. They even set up an altar and all this stuff, and he's showing them all this great stuff, but Balaam wouldn't do it. Balaam would only say what God had put in his mouth to say. When God calls you and leads you to go and speak life in your community and even in your family, some of the hardest places is in the family, you know, your immediate family. Sometimes it is so tough, but when God has called you to that, you got to speak only what God has called you to say. So for me, for you, will you follow the way of the Lord? As we spend time in prayer, as we go through confession, it must be a part of our unadulterated conversation with God. It's a purposeful prayer life. It's something that we have to do on purpose. All right, let me tell you a story. This is an embarrassing story for myself, but whatever. God, if you want me to tell it, okay. Many years ago. It was probably, I'm going to say, 20 years ago, something like that. I was doing my Christian rap ministry, and I was involved in a church, and I loved it there. And I had some friends there. There was an event going on. It was a special event for the teens, and it was a very large church, and it was a great ministry that was happening with the youth ministry. So they wanted some guys to come in, some of the college ministry folks, and do some rapping and do some, testimonies with the teenagers and stuff. And so they said, yeah, if you want to audition or something, you can come in and you can do your thing up here or whatnot. And so a friend of mine told me about it. A bunch of other friends had already known about it, and they had already gone there and were ready. And when I got there, the guy who was a friend of mine said, well, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, so-and-so told me about it, you know, to come and check it out. And he was like, oh, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, we probably already, like, got everybody. And I was like, man. And somebody else was telling me, like, yeah, you can go up next. And I'm like, huh? You know, like, what? And this was one of my friends, but I don't think, didn't know how much he liked my style of rap or whatever. He was an excellent rapper. He really was a great guy. But I think it was one of those moments, you know, where I was just going, I don't understand. But I was going through that test, and as I went through it, they finally let me go up there, and they were kind of like, you know, hurry up, do it quick. So I probably did my He's My Messiah song, and then got down, and then I went out, or kind of like some dialogue back and forth between me and my friend, and it just wasn't like me. It wasn't like him either. And so I remember just kind of being upset, and I went out and I was kind of fussy about it and went outside and I just kind of took my little instrumental thing and threw it out on the sidewalk, and it was such a blessing. There was a couple tender-hearted pastors there that said, whoa, what's going on, Ben? I said, man, I just want to serve, man. I just want to help. I just want to serve. And I was frustrated. And it came to that place for me that I realized, man, I had gotten caught up. So I needed to get with the Lord and talk to him. I went home and I was crying and I said, oh, dear Lord, don't make me like one of those servants in the Bible or somebody that because they did this, or I thought about Moses can't get into the promised land. And I thought, man, you're never going to use me ever again in my life. I mean, I was freaked out. I was scared. And my dad encouraged me and he said, look, so many people in the Bible screwed up, messed up. He said, just talk to the Lord, confess it. So I went to the Lord, and I just broke down and confessed my sin. It may have seemed kind of minor, but it was kind of out there on the sidewalk and embarrassing in front of, I think, quite a few teens that were getting on a bus to leave. And it wasn't the best example, but I had to get with the Lord and confess it. And I was so worried and so concerned about it that I went the next day knocking on the door of the church, and I said, I just need to find those pastors and just ask them, forgive me. And so the Holy Spirit was convicting me, and I was like, all right, time to confess this sin and move forward. And once you do that, you can move into something greater, and you can learn from it. So I came, and they were around the back side of the church. They said, go around the side, and I come around the side, and the guy comes out, and he just grabbed me and hugged me, and I said, forgive me, please. And then the other pastor had come on, and they just loved on me. And it's like when you're going through a tough time, and you think that maybe you're doing it the way you're supposed to do it, God comes in and shows you, hey, just like Balaam's donkey. Sometimes you just gotta sit down. What did Balaam do? He said, I've sinned. For I didn't know that you stood in the road against me. Even the people of Israel before that, they got taken captive. They were getting caught up in some sin. God brought them out. He says, Lord, and he just came and he kneeled down, just like the donkey. Our purposeful prayer life is something, as I said, we have to do on purpose. Nobody is above laying it down before the Lord and saying, Lord, I confess my problem. I confess my sin. Do you think the donkey was in the right? Yeah. He was being disobedient to his owner, so it seemed, but he was actually doing what he was supposed to do. But he knew better than the owner did. God had to get the attention of Balaam, and he will do whatever it takes to speak to us. And he even spoke through the mouth of a donkey, and some would say the mouth of a something. I just say donkey, a three-letter word. But when we regularly confess our sins to the Lord, it not only honors him, but it signifies our love for the Lord. And it also brings us into more intimacy with him, and we become closer and closer in the righteousness of God. So we must renew our minds daily. And as we confess our sins, we have to do this regularly, daily. This is so important in our lives. And I'll say, well, I'm guilty of going through days where I'm not talking to the Lord. I'm not confessing my struggles, my sins. You know, there's moments where I'm just like, oh, yeah, things are good, man. You know, and at night, with our kids, we've been more and more saying, Lord, please forgive us for our sins. We confess our sins. I see you looking at me, Benny. Forgive us, Lord, for things we've done knowingly and unknowingly, Lord. So I want to share with you two scriptures as we close. One, we've got to confess our sins to the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. What sin? Ooh, I love it that he loves us that much. That mistake I made 20 plus years ago, I don't wake up every morning or, you know, a couple times a year going, oh man, I remember when I did that. No, those guys, those pastors knew God's love and redemption, reconciliation, that they said, I got to share it with my brother. And so number two, confess our sins to one another. James 5:16 says this, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of the righteous availeth much, as some may know. Are you here? And you feel you can't get up the nerve to tell the Lord your unconfessed sin? I have been there so many times. Have you felt that where you say, it's just this one thing, Lord, I really don't want to talk about. But it says here, there's healing in the power and in the name of Jesus. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The people that are ministering to one another back and forth and helping each other through the struggles know of Jesus' forgiveness and his love. So if you have that even in your own life and you know there's someone, it doesn't have to be me, that you can go to and say, I'm dealing with this. I used to do that a lot with my dad, some of my best friends. And I say, I'm struggling. I just got to confess this sin that I'm dealing with. Please pray for me because I want to be right with God. I want to walk in his holiness as he is holy. So I'm going to ask two things here. If we could all stand. First, if you have been needing healing, but you needed to confess that you didn't believe that Jesus could heal you, but you didn't know what to do, but you do now. Here's the thing, I love it. It's okay. You have to let it out. You got to talk to him. You can be in your seat today. You can be wherever you are, and God will speak to you right in the midst of your struggle. Whatever it is, however difficult it may seem, God will meet us where we are. So today, instead of coming to the altar, let's make where we are our altar. So that's number one. If you're in that place and you need healing. Number two, if you have a grievance with someone, then confess your sin. Don't let pride stand in the way. I remember going down the road that night, and one of my friends was there all those 20 years ago. He was like, bro, you all right, man? He called me up. And I said, I don't know, man. And my dad had to talk to me and tell me about the screw-ups of David, King David. He said that he was a man after God's own heart, Ben. So just know, if you read God's word, his love is amazing. So let's just pray. Let's go before the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for being here in the midst of us. We confess, Lord, that sometimes we don't know what to do even. We don't know how to handle the sin. We don't know how to fight it. It just keeps coming back and back and back. People here, Lord, dealing with addictions, Lord, that they've dealt with for years, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for healing of those addictions, Lord, those pain, Lord, suffering, Lord, that folks have felt, Lord. Remind them, Lord, for your grace is sufficient, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Your power is made perfect in weakness. So, Lord, we come before you right now, Lord, making this a place, Lord, as an altar before you, a sweet aroma we want to lift up before you, Lord. So we humble ourselves before you, God, saying, Lord, forgive me. Like Balaam, Lord, when he laid himself down before you, Lord. Like your people, they went into captivity, Lord, but you pulled them out, Lord. Lord, you love it when we cry out to you. God wants you to cry out to him. He wants to hear your heart's cry today. So without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and lift up the name of Jesus for a few minutes through worship. You can sing, you can cry out. If you want to yell, Jesus, help me, Lord. If you call, he will answer. In Jesus' name, amen.